Welcome to Mindful Mother, a podcast by Esk and Ivy. Hello, and welcome back to the next episode of Mindful Mother. Today, we are joined by the lovely Iona, mum of two and owner of the Reflux Room, where she takes a holistic approach to the underlying causes of reflux. Hello, welcome, Iona. Lovely to have you with us today.
Thank you.
So would you like to tell us a little bit about your journey with reflux and what it was that brought you to create the Reflux Room?
Yes, so I'd never really heard of reflux. My first baby didn't have it. I didn't know anything about it. And I had my second Ayla in January 21. And she was basically a very unsettled baby. She cried and screamed all day, all night. And, you know, at the beginning you think, well, that's just, she's just new. And then as time wore on and the weeks went on, I realised actually there's maybe something not right here. And kind of reflux started to be mentioned by friends and health visitor. And that ended us in the GP surgery where we got medication for reflux. And it kind of started our whole journey of, what are we really looking at here? Allergies, unsettled behaviour, difficulty feeding, constant feeding. So we had quite a big journey with her reflux and with the unsettled behavior and not really knowing, I guess, exactly what we were dealing with. And I just found the whole experience really difficult, really stressful, and really under-supported actually. And so ultimately I won't go through the whole story, but it's journey, but by 5 months nothing had really worked for any sustainable length of time. So I found out about this holistic kind of assessment for babies who have reflux. And to be honest, thought there was no way they could tell me something I hadn't already read, didn't already know, because I'd been Googling and been into every doctor and hospital, as you do. And actually, we had this assessment for Ayla, looked at her holistically and found out why she had reflux, what was causing it. And there's a number of different things. And within 6 weeks, we were reflux and medication free, which I actually thought was completely impossible and just some sort of wizardry. And so I just felt that I just couldn't stop telling people about this. And so I felt like I had to then train myself to understand this approach and to assess babies and then to support other people, because I just felt that, there needs to be more support out there. And I where they've been, and so that's how I started the reflux room.
That's amazing. I suppose that's with so many people, isn't it, that work in the perinatal space, it's the difficulties that you've had that bring you kind of to want to help other people, really, isn't it? So that's amazing that you're giving it back to other people. And I'll just mention this now before we go any further, but I will tag Iona's social media. Her social media's accounts are amazing for lots of little tidbits of information that can really help people that might be living with reflux. So, you know, you sort of said there with your experience, you know, there was a lot of crying, and we've actually talked about this before as well. Like my daughter, she had a milk allergy, and we experienced a lot of crying with her, probably likely undiagnosed reflux. So what if there's mums out there or dads out there that are listening to this and they're thinking, you know, my baby is really unsettled, but I'm just not sure if it's reflux, we're not really getting anywhere with, you know, the medical team that are supporting us, is there any sort of classic symptoms maybe that parents can look out for if they suspect that it might be reflux?
So there's not really a straightforward answer to that. And I would also say, you know, you don't have to have an official reflux diagnosis to work with me. But very unsettled, almost unable to calm baby down to the point that, like, they won't sleep. They just physically won't ever calm down. It's quite classic. When everyone thinks of reflux, they imagine the vomiting, so a lot of vomiting, and that certainly can be the case, but silent reflux, babies very rarely vomit. So Yeah, there's no straightforward answer. I think if you feel something is wrong, then often something like colic or reflux, which are kind of can be interchangeable. The sort of, I'd say my daughter never got that milk drunk, you know, after you feed a baby and they get that really happy, sleepy milk drunk. Quite classically, reflux babies don't get that because actually it's a milk that's aggravating them and causing, you know, the acid to come up. So yeah, I think those things are sort of the main things people, I guess, associate with reflux, but there are so many, there's over 80 symptoms and some are really subtle actually. So yeah, there's no one thing, but if you feel in your gut something isn't right, I would say you could start investigating it. And, you know, reflux is very common. Mm-hmm. So it's a possibility then that it is reflux. Yeah.
And like you say, a common thing, you know, obviously I see a lot of babies in class every week, and I definitely, I think you can tell where a mum's really struggling to sort of, you know, it's a question that I always get. Well, I don't want to come along to class because I've got a really unsettled baby. And that's always the mums, I think, oh, I wonder if your little one's got some sort of underlying reflux. And I guess we'll touch on this later, but always to say, you know, don't put off going to any sort of classes. I can understand why, like, people don't want to do that if they've got an unsettled baby, but, you know, most classes, they will be really welcoming of that, but we can understand why you won't go out. But we will touch on that later. I'm diverging off. So I'm getting too excited to talk about something else. We talked there, obviously touched on the classic symptoms of reflux. And so, you know, and we talked about my daughter's milk allergy, you know, and then obviously you managed to get 8 weeks reflux-free. What are the most common underlying symptoms? What sort of things do you see time and time again when you're working with your clients that could be the underlying cause of reflux?
So I'd first of all say there always is an underlying cause. The whole, it's just luck, is just not the case. There's definitely always a reason. So common ones are air intake, and there can be lots of reasons that babies are taking air when they're feeding, but I basically bang on about air intake all the time if you look at my page. And that can be to do with latch, it can be to do with maybe milk disagreeing with them in the form of an allergy and air in the stomach. It can be how milk is prepared, not winding properly. So there's a whole myriad of things we can look at for air intake. Cow's milk protein allergy or a food intolerance is another one. And probably the other big one is tongue tie. So again, baby being tongue tied. So my daughter had cow's milk protein allergy and a tongue tie, and those led to, you know, she had issues with latch and feeding and air intake. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of big overarching ones. And within those, there's a lot of overlap, and there's a lot of kind of associated and contributors as well. So it's not as simple as, oh, they've got a tongue tie, that's it, see you later, you know, go and get that fixed and your reflux will resolve. It's definitely multifactorial, but you know, those are the big ones, I would say, the big ones that we see over and over again, very, very common in babies with reflux.
And all, I guess, really, you know, treatable as well, you know, lots of things that get help with, can't you? All these things.
Yeah. And I think it's about, for me, certainly working with people, it's about, you know, giving them all the information of what I think is going on for their baby. And some people don't tackle all of, you know, everything that I outlined. They decide, okay, we're actually just going to look at the allergy, or we're just going to look at this, or we're just going to look at that. And I think it's just about providing parents with that information, because no one's looked at their baby in this holistic way. And then, you know, you've got that information to move forward and decide how you want to support baby.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose both me and you have both been through this with having allergy babies. Yeah. I remember when we were told, so we didn't know that my daughter had an allergy until we weaned her. But when you're told that and when you're faced with it, it can be quite a scary place as well to think, oh my goodness, an allergy, and how are we going to deal with, and all this, those kind of stuff. But there is, again, a lot of support out there, isn't there, for allergy mums, lots of, you know, Facebook groups that you can go on, recipes. And I suppose it's like everything with parenting, isn't it? Sometimes that initial finding out something can be much more daunting, and then when you start to work through the process, life becomes a little bit easier, for, you know, maybe the reflux is getting easier for, you know, certainly when my daughter turned 6 months old, I was like, she became a different baby. And I don't know if it was because she could sit up, that was probably helping with the reflux, but also because at that point we found out she had an allergy, and, you know, probably her tummy wasn't as unsettled anymore. And so you're kind of given one obstacle. I'm doing inverted commas. I do this all the time because I can see you. No one can see us.
Yeah.
Obstacles. But actually, they may be obstacles, but in the long run, they're going to lead you to having a hopefully happier baby. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, you're right. There are loads of resources, and knowledge is power. I just definitely believe that. And I think certainly for me with Ayla, once I knew, because I go through with people every single symptom shows, and there can be a lot. So when we found out every single symptom, actually then I could start to see the small things as well as the bigger picture. And so I just had that knowledge, and I was like, actually, okay. So yeah, hiccups is a classic one. So if you down a drink a pint of Coke, you usually get hiccups because you're taking in air. So babies with reflux who have air intake issues, almost always have hiccups a lot. And it's one of the first things that once you know that, you start to see it in your baby. And you might see it, they have less hiccups one day when we've maybe addressed the air intake in a certain way. And it's one of the first symptoms. It's so such an obvious one that when we tackle air intake, the hiccups generally go or are much less frequent. So that's just an example of one. Once you have that knowledge, you actually start to see yourself how the process, I guess, is working in addressing whatever it is that's going on for baby. And it's a really obvious one to notice.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. I didn't know hiccups. There you go. That does make sense, isn't it? Air intake. And I wonder, you hear about the babies with hiccups in the tummy as well. I wonder if that's all interlinked. Who knows?
Yeah.
That's probably
I don't know if it's linked. I've been asked that before. I don't think so, because they're not obviously taking in air in utero.
Yeah.
So I don't think so, but yeah. It's interesting. Do the diaphragm and everything.
Yeah, there you go. There's like a research project or something out of that. There we go. You're welcome, whoever takes that research project on. So if you suspect that your little one has got reflux, what are the sort of first things that you could do? I mean, obviously, go and speak to your health visitor and your GP. Would you still recommend that would be kind of the first steps to go to, or reaching out to somebody like you, or just having a look online?
Yeah, I guess it's up to each individual. I mean, your GP or health visitor are probably going to be able to say if it's reflux or not, more so. And obviously, if you're looking at medication, that would be the way to go. Mm-hmm. For example, if you think it's an allergy, you might want to look at different milks and things, which would need to be through a health professional.
Mm-hmm.
I generally see people, as I described at the beginning, basically who think they've tried everything, and then they look at the holistic approach, because I don't think many people think holistically to start with, mm-hmm. to be honest, like I didn't. It does seem a little different. You're so used to going to a doctor or midwife or health visitor. But I would say, you know, if you think your baby's got reflux, as you said, I've got loads on my page, loads of info. People can have a look and kind of give you a bit of a map of, okay, what does reflux really look like? I've got, you know, posts with symptoms and signs and causes. And you can have a look and see what you think. And I guess then you can start to build a picture. And it's just about piecing together all those bits. So it's about piecing together the symptoms. And then I think you can maybe say, okay, actually, I want to go to a doctor and look at medication. Or do you want to try something else first? Do you want to look holistically? Or are some people who just say, actually, I just want to go and try one thing. Mm-hmm. I just want to go and try an osteopath. I talk about osteopathy sometimes. And that's fine as well. And it might work for you. So I guess it's about what you want to do and what you want to tackle first. And yeah, each to their own. I'm quite a sort of believer, each to their own. I'm certainly not replacing medicine, mm-hmm. but I would also say reflux medication doesn't tackle the reason for the reflux. Mm-hmm. And they have lots of side effects. So it's about working maybe in conjunction
mm-hmm.
with both, maybe.
And again, your intuition as well as a mum, isn't it? You have got lots of intuition that you can think about. I suppose a funny story was that when my daughter, we first got diagnosed with her milk allergy, they were sort of saying to me, oh, it's not coming through your milk. It's not coming through your milk. And I thought, I'm not buying this. And basically, as soon as I stopped eating dairy, like her eczema sort of cleared up, they were sort of saying it was two unrelated things. And actually, so I think it is important a lot of these times to to kind of go with your gut. Yeah,
I was the same. I was told that, I mean, she screamed all the time, but of course she never screamed in the doctors.
Yeah, obviously.
And
right, don't they?
Like, really. And I was told, well, she's putting on weight, so she doesn't have reflux. That's a really big myth. Babies with reflux can actually overeat, mm-hmm. or lose weight from vomiting, or actually they can just stay the same. So yeah, that's a bit of a myth. But I was told, you know, she's fine. And I just thought, well, not really, because she is screaming. And it was, I mean, really pain. If you've heard a baby with reflux scream, it's like really heartbreaking screaming. And it was like 20 hours a day screaming. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, that can't be right. Like, my gut feeling was telling me it can't be right. And then, so yeah, I think that's how we ended up kind of pushing back.
And I suppose with your second time baby, you've had an experience of a baby that's not had reflux. Perhaps it's easier, or not easier, but you've got that comparison there. Certainly with me being a first time mum, I remember at the 6 week checkup, was it 6 week? Anyway, she came to the house, and obviously the babies are having a little growth spurt at that point, aren't they, at 6 mm-hmm. weeks. So she was feeding all the time and screaming. And when she wasn't feeding, she was screaming. And in hindsight, you're thinking, well, that's probably because her tummy was very sore. And then the health visitor saying to me, oh, you know, you've just got a grumpy one.
Yeah.
And you think, that's unhelpful. I mean, even if she didn't have reflux, I don't know, we would never know if she had reflux or not. That's not a helpful conversation to have with a first-time mum, to say, yeah, you've just got a grumpy one. Because, you know, and now that I see a lot of babies, obviously, through my classes, babies aren't grumpy. You know?
No, and that's...
They're grumpy for a reason, so...
Yeah, that's them communicating something.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They're telling you something, yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose that's maybe something to touch on that we can both kind of talk about, you know, how to look after yourself if you have got a reflux baby and you are living with that 20 day crying. Well, yeah, probably 20 day crying, but 20 hours a day, 20 hours a day crying. Because certainly that's why I teach mum and baby yoga, was because I had such an unsettled child, and mum and baby yoga was a safe space for me to go along to, and she could cry. And, you know, I was just lucky enough that the people that were in the class with me at the time were not judging me, and they just let me sit there every week, her crying, me sometimes crying, and everybody just getting along with it, you know. So mm-hmm. from your point of view, when you went through it, what sort of things did you find helpful to support you move through that process?
Yeah, I mean, it is really difficult, and I think I certainly got the phantom crying. So if she wasn't crying, I was hearing her crying anyway. In fact, if she was at my mum's and I was in the house, I could hear her crying in my head. So it's, yeah, it's really difficult. I think for any new mum, but yeah, especially one struggling, getting outside is really, really helpful. And she was born just after New Year. So, I mean, it was that really heavy snow, but actually just getting outside and walking, fresh air. And you know what? If your baby's going to cry anyway, you might as well take them outside and they can cry outside, and at least you actually feel a bit better about it, just for your mental health, and you don't feel stuck in the four walls with this crying baby. Mm-hmm. I also really, I used to like having a shower because I couldn't hear her crying in the shower, mm-hmm. even though I knew she was crying. I knew it, but I couldn't hear her. And so for like those 3 minutes or something, I would just stand in the shower and close my eyes and imagine that in fact she wasn't screaming. And I found that just that little, it was almost like a little bit of relaxation, mm-hmm. because I couldn't do much else, you know, just given birth and I was kind of feeding all the time. So I found that really helpful. And we then kind of split the difference, and this was only my own decision, but with feeding, we offered her a bottle a bit. So I would give her to my husband for a couple hours, mm-hmm. Because physically it was really difficult feeding really all day. I remember she would feed from like 9 at night straight through till 6-7 in the morning, and I'd be up all night feeding. So being able to hand her physically to somebody else, whether it's your partner or your mum or whoever, I personally found that really helped. Obviously if you're exclusively breastfeeding, that's not always an option. But I found that really, just psychologically being a little bit further away, because you kind of feel a bit touched out.
Yeah,
well, and you just need that little bit of space, even though you're still in the same room, probably. So just having a bit of that separation, physically, around having a baby on you all the time, because I certainly, reflux babies can feed all the time because it's soothing for them, which is how some of them actually put on very large amounts of weight. So yeah, it's, I guess it's different for everyone. Everyone's going to feel differently. But those are things that certainly help me, just having that little break in every day or every other day when you manage to get a shower.
It's funny you say that. You say that as well. I was the same. I used to, my husband would give her last bottle before bed. I was feeding her myself, but, and then I would literally go downstairs and just pump the bottle for the next again day. But so even though I was technically still feeding her, having that wee break away so I could like maybe have a bath or whatever else as well, because and Katie, she didn't feed all the time. She would feed like every hour through the day, like that was her sort of signature pattern. But if she wasn't feeding, she would be attached to me, and again, when you sort of think about that, it's that upright position, isn't it? So she was always in a sling through the day. So I felt that way. If I wasn't feeding her, she was physically attached to me. So to have that, and I know as a mum, you're kind of fighting that, aren't you? Because you're like, well, it's your intuition to be with your baby all the time. But I think if you've got an unsettled baby, you certainly, just to even have 5-10 minutes break can be really, really helpful. So yeah, I think you're right. It is really important to have that little break away. And then another thing I was going to say, and I touched on it earlier before we got to just getting distracted, was if you can find a class as well. And I mean, I don't know how you felt about this. And again, it will depend on the kind of class. But and I know in my classes in particular, you know, I say to mums all the time, don't worry about having an unsettled baby, because 9 times out of 10, there will be somebody in that room at some point has been that mum who's come along with the settled baby. And I know that, you know, it is a really self-conscious place to be when you're somewhere with a baby and it's crying, and you think that everybody's looking at you. But honestly, I think being in the presence of other mums can really help. And if you've got a nice group of mums, which I genuinely do have in all my classes, then they obviously listen to this. Haha, I don't know if they do, but they are all genuinely lovely people. And they're rooting for you, you know, those other mums are genuinely rooting for you. So I think it can be nice. And then you can go out maybe for a walk with them afterwards as well. So it's nice to have that contact with other people. And if you are worried, obviously from my point of view, obviously not, you know, get in contact with people who lead the classes, because they'll probably put your mind at rest and say, come along, and even just go and try it, you know, just try one out and see how it goes. Because I do think it is important to have that community around you, definitely.
You know, if you find one that feels right for you, you could try a couple out. And if you find one you think, yeah, this is one for me. I obviously was in lockdown, so I didn't have that option. We had no classes. And actually, the thing I probably would find harder than the classes, if I'd had the option, is actually just physically getting out the door, because she would scream in the car. Mm-hmm. And then just getting her in the car was difficult. And actually, by the time I got to a class, I would probably have been so exhausted. But if you found a class that you know is supportive, and yeah, you, like you say, you get in touch with them in advance maybe and say, how will this work? Then I guess you've got something to aim for, right? I'm going to get there, I'm going to get my cup of coffee or my yoga session, mm-hmm. And it's going to be okay, and it's mm-hmm. going to be supportive. So if you kind of have that to aim for, mm-hmm. the journey will probably be worth it.
I think so, yeah. And it's, oh God, I was the same thing with Katie in the car. She was an absolute nightmare. So I would like find myself, I lived in the north of Edinburgh, and I would purposely book classes in the south of Edinburgh so I could literally put her in the pram and walk from one end of the city to the other, because she just screamed in the car. And yeah, you're right. By the time I got there, I was like sweating, thinking, oh, what am I doing? Why am I doing this to myself every week? But yeah, sometimes it is worth it. And like I say, mums are just rooting for each other, really, aren't they? They're like 9 times out of 10. There's an odd person, obviously, but 9 times out of 10, mums are just rooting for you to be able to survive it and go through it.
Definitely. I think they're definitely, you know, looking at you, wondering if they can help. They're more than they're judging you. But I know, yeah, you don't feel that in your own head. But actually, even just getting out is going to be beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Fresh air as well, isn't it? To do everybody the world of good, absolutely. So, well, it's been lovely hearing about reflux. I'm sure like lots of mums will find it super helpful, because I know there's many of us that live with unsettled babies. So I really appreciate you coming along today to talk to us, Iona. I will pin all your links to your website and your amazing social media pages below. But if you want to just let everybody know how they can get in contact with you, if they're thinking about booking you or what sort of services you provide as well, before we finish up, that would be lovely.
So yeah, as you said at the beginning, my social medias are The Reflux Room on Instagram and Facebook. There's probably more on Instagram, a bit more kind of connection there, and more information. My website is just thereflexroom.com, so it's all quite easy to remember. And yeah, I offer kind of a package where I work with families basically to look at everything from pregnancy, birth, right through to now, feeding and everything that's going on for baby, all their symptoms. And then I work with them via a Zoom call usually, and then provide them with a big plan with strategies and what every symptom means, to therefore tell them what the underlying cause is and provide them strategies. And it's kind of, you're looking at like 15 pages plus in a document, so it's a lot of information and links to, if you need specialists or if you need this or that, what, you know, what will help baby, all tailored to them. So yeah, details of that's all on my website, so people can check out,
get in touch. Exactly. Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you again so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it. Have a lovely rest of your day.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to catch the next episode. If you can't wait till then, give us a follow on Instagram and Facebook at Esk and Ivy, or check out our website, www.eskandivy.co.uk.